You are listening to an SAFM podcast, 104 to 107 nationwide. Stream us live on www.safm.co.za or via the SABC Plus app. SABC News, independent and impartial. Sunday morning discussion on Weekend View.
Yeah, Sabenzile, I find it very peculiar that America would send the money to Palestine, this aid money, but yet they actually hate Palestine. So I don't know, maybe you, Sabenzile, could tell us actually the reason. Why does America hate Palestine like this? And it's not only America that hates Palestine. And others, some other countries as well. What did actually the Palestinians do, actually? Who can come up standing tall and telling us actually the deep reasons why do they hate Palestine like this? Thanks. Willie here in Kuma.
Morning, sir. This time is from Mufunde. I think the USA, sir, they are hypocrites. They were saying that they want two-state solution on the matter of Israel and Palestine. But when they have to recognize the state of Israel, of Palestine in the UN Security Council, they refuse to veto that motion. So to believe that they are the one solution on this matter is a lie. They are not prepared, they are just being used by Israel. They will do whatever it takes to protect the Israelis. So there's no way that we can find a solution if we have countries that they still have that veto power. It has to change. And the Security Council has to reform this restructure.
Thank you for those voice notes. Some more of your comments here. Ariel in Durban says, hi, Sabenzile, there'll be no war in the Middle East. Too many countries have too much to lose. And besides this, Israel has the backing of the world's greatest superpower, America. Another here from my daughter who says here, to me, those two countries will be smaller and smaller. Will this not cause more conflicts between them with the and will the movements between them be considered? Those are some of your comments. Remember, the question that we are asking in our talking point today is what your view is of the United States' refusal to grant Palestine full United Nations membership. It's also the focus in our Sunday morning discussion. To lead us into that, the United States rejected a fairly broad consensus in the Security Council on Thursday when it vetoed a draft resolution that would have recommended the state of Palestine's full membership to the United Nations. 12 countries, including Russia, France and China, backed the measure, which drew two abstentions from the UK and Switzerland. But it was left to Washington's veto to sink any hopes of sending the measure to the General Assembly for further action, where the state of Palestine was likely to win the two-thirds majority that would have rubber-stamped its accession to the 194th member state of the global organization. This report from our UN correspondent, Sharon Price-Pease.
Our Palestinian people now are searching for remnants of life, and you will not find a people who have a stronger desire to live an ordinary life like our people in Gaza. Gaza of pride, Gaza of glory. Our Palestinian people, wherever they are, want life. They cling onto life, just like the other peoples on this planet.
Raw emotion from Palestine's envoy Riyad Mansour, at times pausing to gather his emotions after the US sunk his country's latest effort to gain full membership, with Malta's ambassador and president of the council, Vanessa Frazier, wiping a tear as he spoke.
We don't want to replace anyone. We want to enter your club as equal.
Supporting, granting Palestine full membership has put us on the path of hope, to keep the hope alive. The fact that this resolution did not pass will not break our will. And it will not defeat our determination.
We've been waiting since 1947, and we are in 2024.
Israel's ambassador Gilad Erdan continued to rail against the United Nations and the Council in particular as he welcomed the United States veto.
I have represented Israel at the UN for over 3 years. I have taken part in dozens of meetings in this council. And since the October 7th massacre, I have been here on a near weekly basis, sometimes daily basis. I repeat the same arguments in every debate. I plead, I convince, at least try to convince. I bring testimonies, present photos, and show video footage. But nevertheless, you refuse to even condemn. You refuse to listen. You refuse to act. You even refuse to check the facts. So today, I won't try to fix what is already broken. Speaking to this council is like speaking to a brick wall.
The U.S. Envoy Ambassador Robert A. Wood defended their move, pointing to a lack of consensus in the Council's Admissions Committee, describing the action in New York as premature. As Washington again argued that the matter be decided in direct negotiations between the parties, an avenue that is currently non-existent.
There are unresolved questions as to whether the applicant meets the criteria to be considered a state. We have long called on the Palestinian Authority to undertake necessary reforms to help establish the attributes of readiness for statehood, and note that Hamas, a terrorist organization, is currently exerting power and influence in Gaza, an integral part of the state envisioned in this resolution. For these reasons, the United States voted no on this Security Council resolution. Again, the United States continues to strongly support a two-state solution. This vote does not reflect opposition to Palestinian statehood, but instead is an acknowledgement that it will only come from direct negotiations between the parties.
The Secretary General Antonio Guterres, speaking ahead of the vote, warned against failure to make progress on a two-state solution.
The Middle East is on a knife edge. Recent escalations make it even more important to support good faith efforts to find lasting peace between Israel and a fully independent, viable, and sovereign Palestinian state. Failure to make progress towards a two-state solution will only increase volatility and risk for hundreds of millions of people across the region who will continue to live under the constant threat of violence. I urge every government involved to use its influence and leverage to promote trust building, mutual security, and regional peace.
Palestine currently enjoys only non-member observer status at the UN without voting rights. The United Nations and the international community more broadly has endorsed a two-state solution, with both states living side by side in peace and security along the pre-1967 borders, with East Jerusalem as the capital of a future Palestinian state, which also seeks to include territories captured by Israel in a six-day war against Arab states 57 years ago. Many council members argued that admitting Palestine as a full member state would strengthen rather than undermine the two-state solution, a view that will remain untested in the foreseeable future. I'm Sherwin Brice-Spees in New York.
That is the subject of our Sunday morning discussion. In a moment, I will be in conversation with Professor Chris Landsberg, Director of the Center for African Diplomacy and Leadership at the University of Johannesburg, as well as Ricky Mukonza, Associate Professor of Public Affairs at the Tshwane University of Technology.
Sunday morning discussion on Weekend View.
Let me thank both of our guests, Professor Chris Landsberg and Ricky Mukonza, for joining us this morning. Professor Landsberg, let me start with you. You were listening in as well to that package we played from that vote. Where does this place the United States and their stance, if you will, of achieving a two-state solution there when even at this point they do not want to support Palestine becoming a full member? Palestinian President Abbas condemning the veto, saying that it is unfair, unethical and unjustified. What are your thoughts?
Wow. First of all, thanks for having me, Prof. Ricky. Thanks for joining as well, and good to be with you. This is the second time that it's happening. The first time that Palestine followed all the processes. And sadly, when Palestine was in a much better position, with a government, with structures, with infrastructure that's not decimated by Israel and the United States, who again just voted for massive military aid for the continuation of the war, was in 2011 under the Barack Obama administration. It allowed the process to go to the full extent, just like it did now, namely, it applied to this. It delivered a letter to the Secretary General. It applies for membership and by extension recognition. Then there's an admissions committee that decide whether the country is right or not. Now, just to say on a fair point, the criticism is that Palestine is in a much worse state than 2011. What the United States of Deputy Ambassador failed to tell us in that insert is that they are responsible for decimating Palestine. So let me tell you where it leaves the United States to answer your question specifically, and where it leaves the situation. It leaves the United States becoming more and more isolated, but it also shows to us that the United States does not care. I shudder to tell you that I think there's a bigger project at play here in terms of Palestinian statehood, and that is Israel clearly wants to create a greater Israel and leave such a weak Palestine when they finally decide they've achieved their objectives with this war, that Palestine won't be able to govern itself and will be dependent on external factors, and the United States in particular see itself as leading that process of helping to govern a future Palestine. But finally, what the action shows again, and I just want to give you a figure. This is the with the votes of the last month and a half or so.
Yeah.
This is the 86th time that America has voted on Palestine. Has used its veto. The 86th time, it has only voted once in favor, and that was 3 weeks ago when it voted in favor of aid to Palestine eventually.
Thanks, Professor Landsberg. Let me bring you in, Professor McCons, and appreciate your time as well on the show. In this particular vote here, there were 12 in favor of this resolution that was introduced by Algeria, and two abstentions from the UK as well as Switzerland. That really says a lot, doesn't it, Prof? Again, perhaps to the question about the is it a case of the United States' influence, perhaps even in the council, waiting, if you will, a bit, because here you have other nations here being able to say, actually, we are in favor of this, even though the likes of the UK abstained from this. Does the US not come from this perhaps appearing not as strong as they would want to on this issue?
Good morning, and good morning to my fellow panelists, Professor Landsberg. I think you are correct in the sense that the voting pattern shows that the influence of the United States of America is waning in global politics. Because if 12 out of the 15 members, UN Security Council, could vote in favor of the resolution, and America appears isolated, even the UK and Switzerland could not vote, abstained from voting. Mm-hmm. I think it tells you of America's diminishing influence in global politics. But more importantly, I think the case of Israel and Palestine is a case that seems to be pretty obvious to all fair-minded countries, and America is exposing its duplicity in that on one side it agrees to a two-state solution, but on the other side it vetoes against efforts to move towards that end. So for me, America is actually coming out of this whole thing a weaker state than probably it was before.
We are still in conversation with Professors Chris Landsberg and Ricky Mokonza. We're talking about the United States veto in the UN Security Council there, denying Palestine full membership, essentially. Let's quickly hear from Rex on the line from Leidenberg. A quick one from you, Rex. Good morning.
Yes. I don't see how you're ever going to have peace in the Middle East. I mean, the whole Middle East, from Tunisia, from the Sahel, right up to Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen. It's Muslims killing Muslims every day. It's a continuous battle between the Sunnis and the Shias. And until they sort that thing out, there will never be peace in the Middle East. If Gaza, if Hamas had held regular elections, we would not be in this problem now. Would Hamas have fought an election on destroying Israel, or would it have been normal democratic stuff like jobs, like the economy, and like service delivery? And until the Sunnis and the Shias sort out their nonsense, there will never be peace in the Middle East. And then it's just one conspiracy theory after another, and they blame all their problems on the Jews and the Americans. It's just not realistic.
Rex on the line from Leidenberg, thank you for your call. Professor Landsberg, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, Rex, what is so fascinating about your input, there is a relative peace, and there's greater peace in the Middle East, at least there was before the war that has been waged against Palestine. Right now, and let me make it absolutely clear to you my position. That is that this thing that the 7th of October is what triggered Israel to do what it's doing. I wish to state to you factually, go and look for yourself, that before the 7th of October, there were Israeli actions and killings of Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. In Palestine. This thing has come on, as the ambassador rightly said, since 1947, caused in the main by Britain. But if we want peace, don't blame it on the Shiites and Sunni Muslims and that battle. Many Muslim states did not participate in last week's stopping of 300 drones and sorties by Iran. And there again, it's Israel that took the first action by violating the territory of Iran by attacking an embassy. If America's embassy in Pretoria is attacked tomorrow by an external country, that's a direct violation of America's sovereignty. I am stunned that nobody mentions that Iran reacted to Israel's actions in this regard. But to come back to the point at hand, what a yes vote by the U.S. would have done, it would not have made Palestine a viable state overnight, because that state is being destroyed. But it would have brought us closer to their own rhetoric of being committed, apparently, to a two-state solution. Mm. By not having done that, it's not just that they're postponing, final point, that they're postponing the realization of a two-state solution. It is that America is not happy with the level of destruction that has been caused already. It wishes to see more decimation of that state, that territory. One of the criteria of UN membership, you must have a territory and you must have a defined permanent population. America has just said it will make that less viable than it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Professor Mokonza, perhaps also for people who are still wondering what a yes vote or if there wasn't that veto, and Palestinians then would have, you know, moved from being a non-member observer state to being to having full membership. What would that resolution have meant for the people of Palestine?
I would totally agree with Prof. Landsberg. Succession that a yes vote by the United States of America would have not necessarily, you know, automatically given, you know, the Palestinians, you know, that full that statehood that they are looking for, but rather it would have moved towards that direction, and it would have given the Palestinian people some hope that they so much need at this point in time after the decimation that has taken place since the attacks of October 7. So it would have, you know, allowed for that two-state solution that the UN has agreed to be the long-term solution to the conflict between the two nations.
If I could just add one sentence to what Prof is saying, it would have done something in terms of the immediate term, right? What's going on right now? It would have done something absolutely significant. It would have said, now that we've agreed that this country should be a state solution, it would have brought us closer to the end of the war, because now there's a basis for going to negotiate what happens under the so-called day after. You know, there's this phrase being used, what happens after the day war. It would have brought us closer to a date to end this war. But America and Israel is not happy that they have not achieved their objectives. I just give you one statistic. America has sent over 100 shipments of weapons between the 7th of October and now to Israel, and far less trucks of food or shipments of food. 100 full shipments of weapons to Israel. Why? I even question whether America really doesn't want an expansion of this war to other regions. I think America is interested.
As a final question to both of you, Prof, and perhaps Prof Landsberg, you go first in 30 seconds. Where, you know, America goes to an election as well late in the year. What does this do for Biden? We saw earlier this week students, for example, at Columbia taking a very strong stance there. But for the most part, he has the bipartisan support for the support that they have, in fact, been given to Israel. What does this do for his bid to get another term?
You know, it's so interesting that you asked this question. Just to say to you briefly, before last night, I would have said to you that Prof. Biden stands much more to lose, and I think he does stand much more to lose, because he's losing the He's losing the war of public opinion in his country and worldwide. But after the vote of last night, when they agreed on the aid package, it shows that the Republicans, and the Democrats are basically on the same page when it comes to the war. But Biden will lose much more support by Muslim voters and other progressive people not going to the poll and voting for him than Trump, than President Trump, former President Trump does.
Prof. Mokwanta, your views there?
I think Biden is in a weaker position going into the election because of the stance that the current American government has taken. I think he has taken a side that everyone can see that it's on the wrong moral side.
Let me thank you both for your views this morning. Fascinating indeed. That was Professor Ricky Mokwanta, Associate Professor of Public Affairs at Tshwane University of Technology, as well as Professor Chris Landsberg, Director of the Center for African Diplomacy and Leadership at the University of Johannesburg.
You can find SAFM Current Affairs on 104 to 107 nationwide. Our podcasts are available for download on all our digital platforms. SAFM, leading the conversation.